Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to an election night edition. Even though it's not election night, it's the night after.
America decides.
Yeah, get a crazy graphics and Chirons going. It's the Woke Bros, of course. I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambray. I'm joined by the one and only Nando Vila on the west side of Los Angeles. What's up, brother? Good, man. Good. Just chilling, man. You know, I woke up this morning because I used to be that person that would throw on MSNBC and just watch it as the election results came in and, you know, listen to the analysis and get all deep divey and go crazy, go nuts. I used to be that person. I'm no longer that person. I'm just like, yo, I will read the results tomorrow. I'll read people who have ideas about what, if anything, any of this means big picture wise going forward. And that's it. And, you know, I woke up to the news that the red wave that was supposed to engulf the Dems and their hapless government just never came. You know, I think they're gonna barely take the House back, which sucks, but it's not as if the Dems were doing anything with that House advantage anyway. And I think at best, there's like four races still out there, if I'm not mistaken. And at best, they could get to 52, but there's no wave. It's not some overwhelming thing that people thought was going to happen.
Yeah, especially because, and this is like the second time this happens where Florida, for whatever reason, counts their votes very quickly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they get the results come in very quickly from Florida. That's on the East Coast, and it's early, and and fucking
so
Ron
that
DeSantis.
Starts a narrative going for the night.
Yeah, and Ron DeSantis won by 20 points in a state that Obama won twice, you know? Ron DeSantis won by 20 points. Like, that is crazy in our polarized world, especially Florida's supposed to be a swing state. It's supposed to be one of the biggest swing
states.
It
used to be anyway, yeah.
Yeah, until, and honestly, like, yes, DeSantis is a savvy guy. DeSantis beat Andrew Gillum for the governorship 4 years ago by like a hair, you know, by like half a point. 4 years later, 20 points up. I think it goes to show just how badly the Florida Democratic Party is, who, you know, poured tons of money to elect Charlie Crist, who is a former Republican.
Absurd. You know, just absurd, bro.
Who no one likes, you know? And then Val Demings.
How can that be the idea that, yeah, Charlie Crist, who, you know, folks don't remember, he had his own situation, struggles back in the days, couple of ridiculous scandals. Whose idea was that, that this guy could, like, do something in there?
Yeah. No, it's they Dems always think this in that, like, they're like, oh, to beat the Republican, we'll get a Republican.
You need a light Republican, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like,
no, he's a rhino. They don't like him. He's not.
They don't like him.
He's not gonna clip off any Republican voters. That's a fallacy, right? Cause like this is what I love. Like, you'll hear. I remember when it was like back when it was slightly embarrassing, or some conservatives felt slightly embarrassed by the idea that they pulled the lever for Trump and that they didn't like him. You'd hear people say, "Well, he was not my candidate." You know, I was a really big Ted Cruz person, but Ted Cruz didn't win the nomination, so I had to pull the lever for Trump. You know, like, there's always this, like, fake, they do the fake performative stuff, but, like, none of these people want some moderate, you know, just some chaste Republican. That's not a thing.
Well, certainly, you know, certainly it depresses turnout amongst the Democratic base because he's completely, you know, so, and that was a huge problem in Florida, is just the Democrats just didn't come out for him at all because he's just a wet noodle and a former Republican. Like, why would they trust him, you know? You contrast that with someone like Fetterman, who is not a moderate, he doesn't run as a moderate. He doesn't run, you know, he reads moderate because he just sounds like a regular guy. But he is a bold alternative that gets people excited to vote for him. And that's how he won in Pennsylvania. And he won pretty handily in a state relatively handily. But yeah, I mean, in Florida, it was a disaster. I mean, the DeSantis won by 20. Marco Rubio, who, like, no one really likes either. You know, DeSantis, actually, people like him. No one likes Marco Rubio. He won by, like,
nobody
15
goes,
points.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody goes, yeah. Oh, man, Marco Rubio is kicking the libs' asses in the Senate. Or he's, like, this hardcore Republican. Like, nobody feels that way. And he's comfortably winning his race.
Yeah. So, yeah, he won by 15 points against Val Demings, and I think, like, Democratic donors poured something like $80 million or $70 million into that race, and only to lose by 15 points. But then shit started changing as results started coming in. I think people were surprised that Abigail Spanberger won in Virginia. She was that Democratic congresswoman that, like, went against AOC like a year or two ago. Do you remember that? All right, whatever. She was supposed to lose, you know, pretty comfortably, and she won, and people were like, and then Fetterman won in a race that, you know, was kind of considered a toss up, but he won pretty handily. And I think that kind of put a damper
kibosh
on the red wave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still wide open in the sense that, you know, the Warnock Herschel Walker race, and that's an interesting one, is going to go to a runoff again.
Yeah, Jesus again. Christ, Georgia. That's those two dudes just drawing completely even. I'm sorry, like, that, I know this is serious business. It's the United States Senate, but that shit is hilarious, bro. That's hilarious. And I know the instinct to be like, oh, it just shows you the the depravity of the conservatives, and they're just so depraved and disgusting and blah. That's how you're supposed to feel about that. But, you know, I think a lot of conservatives made the calculation like, bro, we want a Republican in there. It don't matter who, what, whatever. If we know he's going to comfortably vote with us, that's it. And it's like testing the extremes of that. Because I seen a 538 joint headline that said, candidate quality mattered, right? And in certain senses that it did. Like there are, like, you know, these states where a Republican might have won the governorship in double digits and then, you know, lost the Senate or whatever, right? It was just shows you that, like, it's not just this, you know, sort of partisan hackery that goes involved. Like, if you have a quality candidate, they can kick ass. Or if you have somebody terrible, conversely, they can lose. Except in Georgia.
The interesting thing about Georgia is that the race for governor, which is a rematch between Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp, in which that race 4 years ago, Stacey Abrams lost by a hair. I think she lost by like 50,000 votes. You know, she got crushed. Like, absolutely crushed. She lost by, like, 7 points, you know? Like, the Brian Kemp won it comfortably, you know, with, like, 55% of the vote. And that shows you that there was a penalty to Herschel Walker, that, like, the Republicans in Georgia just are more, and they're happy with their, you know, boring-ass Republican governor. But, like, Herschel Walker was, like, you know... just a fucking disaster. Like, there was a penalty there that the Republicans faced by nominating.
It's definitely a penalty, but it's not severe enough. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, not severe enough.
But the thing, so in the runoff, I was actually looking at the runoff from 2 years ago, the Ossoff, the double runoff in Georgia 2 years ago. Ossoff lost in the first round by 2 points, and then he won in the runoff. So it's really all to play for, you know what I mean? Kind of, it's still really, like, up for grabs. Like, I can see... In a sort of runoff election in which it's just Warnock versus Walker and not all the other shit, you know, not... I can see, like, the
Herschel Walker thing. Yeah, that's some libertarian guy running in there, all of that stuff.
Yeah, and just, like... and but also, like, not, you know, people not showing up to vote for the governor and, like, who they like, and maybe they just, like, do Republican on all the way down the line or whatever. I can see, like, that Walker penalty just kind of, you know, being more severe, especially because as time goes on, his shit got worse, you know, like time was not on Herschel Walker's side. So, you know, I do think Warnock probably pulls it out. The other one that looks like the Dems are going to win is in Arizona. Mark Kelly, the astronaut, against Blake Masters, who's like Peter Thiel's little bitch. Do you know this guy, Blake Masters? Have you seen him?
No, but, you know, I read a little thing about Peter Thiel's just hyper-politicization now, where this guy is just like, he's a Twitter person, essentially. Like, he's just crazy and throws his money all around. I know, isn't J.D. Vance one of his
concoctions? He won pretty, yeah. He won, they're like, yeah. Yeah, they're part of the same kind of little dork crew. You know, they're like... they're just like these nerdy ass conservatives that are like, well, and they like love Peter Thiel. God, I hope Blake Masters loses. He's such a fucking dork. Like, you know, he's just such an insufferable dork. And it looks like he's going to lose. Looks like the Dems are going to lose in Nevada, which was the other big kind of swing one that they needed to hold. This woman, Cortez Masto, the first Latina senator, she's probably going to lose in Nevada. But yeah, not the red wave. And it's interesting to think about why. I do think that there's kind of two dynamics. One, there's just a broad kind of rejection of the Republicans as extreme in the wake of the abortion, in the wake of Dobbs, you know, the abortion thing. I think people were just like, whoa, this is
Yeah, because straight up in a bunch of Republican states, they put the shit on the ballot and people were like, bro, come on. Yeah. Like, come on, man. This is a lot. You're asking for a lot now. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said about the extremism going, you know, not in their favor.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And then the other one, there's just like kind of like, I think that there is a dynamic in which like there is a split in the Republican Party between kind of like normie Republicans and then like Trump Republicans. And I think that Trump Republicans have an advantage in these primaries where the crazies really kind of dominate. But then they're just turned off in the general election. You know, like I think Brian Kemp is a good example of kind of a normie Republican that in like just rode the fundamentals to a huge win.
Yeah.
You know, meaning like there was a, you know, inflation and president's unpopular and blah, blah, blah. Like the regular punishment that a incumbent president faces in the midterms, he rode that wave. But the sort of more Trumpian types, the ones who are like Stop the Steal and like QAnon and, you know, Herschel Walkers and shit, like they suffered probably like a 5 to 6 point penalty.
Yeah, and I think even I say this all the time because I spend a lot of time in Georgia. Like my brother lives in a fucking exurb of Atlanta. And you know, you, it's a hodgepodge of people. And I know like once you leave that little region, you know, you get to South Georgia and all of that. It ain't nothing like up there, you know, but this idea that Georgia's just like rapidly changing, like, no, it's not rapidly changing. It's certainly changing. Like this place used to be straight up solidly conservative, Republican, all of that, solidly red. And the demographic shifts are changing, and not just in race, but like, you know, college educated people and stuff like that. Like that, it's definitely changing the state. But like, yo, these folks like their Republicans, man. You know, you just give them that run of the mill Republican, they're gonna roll with that. And it feels like that's what's happening. I do want to get back to DeSantis because I think a lot of the chatter has been that he had a victorious, you know, midterm night because, you know, some Trump people got their asses kicked in Florida, whatever. DeSantis won handily. And, you know, people are saying, oh, DeSantis, he might have some wind in his sails, Nando. And, you know, I wonder because, again, like you're still in touch with people who live in Florida. What do you think is his appeal and what does it mean going forward? Because I know we've been very dismissive of his 2024 chances because Trump is just so much more personally charismatic than he is. Yeah. But what do you think about his sort of momentum and appeal going forward?
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, I've always said it from the beginning that DeSantis is like a clever guy in that he knows how to get attention for himself, which is half the battle in American politics these days. He understands that, but then he's actually like he's not a dummy. Like, he's just not like that. Like, you know, liberals who are like, look at this idiot. It's like, you know, he's a monster, but he's not like a dumbass. That's not his thing. He's savvier than he looks. And a shrewder politician than he looks. And I think part of his like popularity, I mean, I think a huge part of it is that he resisted COVID lockdowns and mm-hmm. mask mandates and all of that.
Quite savvily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether savvily or not, like whether it was the right kind of policy from a public health standpoint or not is up for debate. And it's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that was a genuinely popular thing to do.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know if it was the right thing to do from a public health standpoint. Probably not. But from a just popularity standpoint, I think that was huge. I mean, I think like he was out there being basically the lone governor resisting all of that stuff. And, you know, he made the point like, look at Democrat California. It's falling apart and it's high taxes and blah, blah, blah. And people started moving to Florida because of the, I think a large part because it wasn't locked down at a time when everyone was bored out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And at a time when, and in a state when there's no state income tax. The other thing is that he, you know, he rails against wokeism, you know, as one does. And, you know, that's quite popular. It just is. Like, amongst people of all shapes and colors.
I think
colors.
A lot of people are tired of it, yeah.
Yeah, like of all shapes and colors, that it's just kind of like gone too far. And, you know, he talks about it all the time, and he's sensed that is a winning issue for him, and it probably is. And again, not just with like, you know, toothless hicks in white hicks, you know what I mean? That's with everybody. Like, Ron DeSantis won Miami-Dade County by like 6 or 7 points. Miami-Dade County hasn't voted Republican, I think, in like in the longest time, like 20, 30 years. That is a solidly blue county in, you know, despite the Cubans and despite everything, like that is a solidly blue county and always has been. And Ron DeSantis flipped it. He won. It's not, it's just, he's more like that kind of stuff superficially. Is more popular than people realize, I think. And I think that's true. But so I think those two things are part of it. You know, he just gives the sense that of leadership, you know, in a twisted way. Like, he's out there. He's, you know, he's comfortable being in the limelight. He's comfortable being in the center of it, you know, which is part of being a leader. And I think people see him and they just latch onto it. He's not like one of these quiet guys who just like, you know, like the, I don't know. Like, it's so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main source of the appeal. I really think you can't underscore the COVID stuff as just a huge source of his appeal.
Yeah, the COVID stuff, I think, was the first sign of a crack in this liberal sort of firewall that I saw, where it was like, you know, people around me in my life who are like those liberals who are like, no, I'm proudly Democrat and I'm like, you know, I'm like really liberal and blah, 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 blah. Man, as soon as them badass kids had to stay home, they was like, yo, hey, listen, man, hey, we need to put them kids back in school. I don't give a damn about the COVID, the vax, the this, the that. It was like, I was like, damn. Because, like, you know, when you see it playing out on cable news or in the New York Times or whatever, and it's being like the sort of the COVID wariness, right, being painted as like, if you are really vigilant about COVID, that means you're a great dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Right. And you see that just being played and played and played. This idea that if you were down with the shutdowns and all of that, that made you, you know, that fortified your liberalness. And, you know, when the rubber hit the road, though, folks was like, bruh, listen, I loved Hillary. I voted for her. I'm going to do the Biden thing, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But boy, y'all got to open this stuff up. You know, we want to go to restaurants. We want to send our kids to school. We want to get back to living our lives. Like, I remember that. And, you know, that other part you talk about with woke, I think anti-wokeness is intersectional. You know, like, intersectional is like a buzzword for liberals. I think you can hit somebody in every quadrant, black male, black woman, whatever, gay white male, blah, 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 blah. And there will be something about the narrative of wokeness that gets on their fucking nerves, you know? And to play to that, I could see how that would work, man. Like, I could see how that would resonate with people. Because, you know, it's not hard for me to imagine some black or Hispanic male being like, yo, they're really going too hard about the feminism. You know, or what's up with D-Wade's kid? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could see it. I could just see that shit just clear as day in my mind's eye. So, you know, just the idea that somebody would run on that and play on those things and, you know, use it as a way to make them popular politically, I think is, you know, that seems to be right in line with what I see and know about people.
Yeah. It looks like Hugo Soto Martinez is gonna win. Former guest of this show, city council in LA.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's what's up! Wow. Yep.
He's good in the lead. He's got like a lead by. He's like 5 points ahead right now. It's still not fully counted. It's not officially called, but he seems to be in a strong position. Dude, the guest on this show.
Guest on this show, the woke bros bump.
The woke bros bump, baby. The woke bump.
Yeah, that's, man.
I'm gonna take all the credit. You know
that he worked his ass off, obviously ran an incredible campaign, but this guy is, you know, he's got progressive values, union guy, like shit, man. That's
organized his workplace when he was like 19 at a hotel.
Incredible stuff. Yeah. And the last thing I want to get into, Nando, because I was thinking about this today. What does this mean for Biden going forward? I honestly think it's a good thing that they lost the House.
For and Biden? If they lose, just puts him off the hook. Leaves, you know?
Just, bro, stop wasting my time with this. Oh, we gotta negotiate with Manchin and Sinema, and we got to maybe give rip off some Republicans and just get to doing the shit you can do by fiat. Just fucking get to the presidential orders and keep it pushing it. We ain't gotta pay none of this lip service and this bullshit that Biden be doing. I don't wanna hear it. Just do your presidential orders, bruh. Veto all the bullshit they gonna send you because they inevitably are going to do that, and that's fine. Of course, not the military stuff. That's going to just get passed beautifully. And everybody's going to sing kumbaya about more guns all over the place and Halliburton and the rest of these clowns getting paid and shit. But yeah, man, just get to doing the shit like the college loan shit and just get to that. Just get to that for 2 years and that's it. I honestly think on the low, this is a good thing for Biden's presidency.
Maybe. I mean, what is going to happen is that in the Republican side, you know, Kevin McCarthy is the new Speaker of the House. Congratulations, Kevin McCarthy, congressman from California, like the kind of the area just east of L.A., like not east L.A., like east of L.A., like in the
like know, the IE. Is that where McCarthy's is from?
Yeah, yeah, it's like the Mojave Desert. He's got like a huge district because it's very depopulated. It's like when you're driving out to Vegas, like, and there's like nothing around. It's like that kind of area. And he's the new Speaker of the House, and it's gonna be funny because they won by such a narrow margin, because there's only like, you know, three or four seats that they have that makes the difference. That means that like the crazies have all the leverage, you know. Yep. So like,
because they'll just straight up not go with your plan.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't care about like being down with the team and playing ball with y'all. Fuck that.
No, like Marjorie Taylor Greene like is not going to fucking play ball. No, you know what I mean?
No shot.
And so that's going to be funny to watch, because they're going to do some crazy shit. You know? Mm. Like they're definitely going to like launch all kinds of investigations into Hunter Biden's laptop and shit.
Yeah, do it.
You know?
Do it.
I mean, yeah, nothing's going to get done. You know, that's what happens with divided government. I mean, that's why the rich love divided government. I don't know if you saw Elon Musk, comrade Elon Musk, tweeting about how he's supporting like a ticket split, you know, like Democratic presidency and Republican. It's because the rich people, if nothing gets done, it's good
everything
for them,
will stay, you know? The same. Yeah, we will stay rich as hell, no problems. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I mean, Brandon, who knows? I mean, Brandon is a fighter. I think, like, when you think Brandon's down and out, like, he somehow, you know, like,
somehow does something. I know.
You know, like, Brandon was out in the primary and then he won. And then Brandon, you know, was struggling in the general and then he won. And then Brandon in this election, you know, historically unpopular, inflation, bruh, all that shit.
53% disapproval.
Yeah. And they, you know, they didn't get clobbered as bad as they thought they were going to get clobbered.
For sure.
So you know, shout out to Brandon. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be like a nightmarish situation in that nothing's going to get done. It's going to be a lot of noise. Like, the crazies are going to do a lot of, like, investigations. The libs are going to go crazy over the crazies. Oh, you know, man. It's going to be a lot of shouting with nothing really getting done. So, yeah. I mean, there's a couple, like, nice ballot measures that passed, you know, like those kind of things, like psychedelic drugs legal in Colorado now. You know, that's nice.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So when we say it's psychedelic, what are we talking about? Magic mushrooms, like, LSD?
Yeah. Like, not all of them. It's like, I think it's, like, somewhat limited. I don't know what it's limited to, but.
What's the shit that the people take in South America? Like, you do it with,
ayahuasca?
Like, a shaman? Oh, ayahuasca. That's the shit that Aaron Rodgers was on. Fucked up his whole season.
yeah, exactly. South Dakota, like a super Republican state, voted to expand
Medicaid. Yep, super nice.
Illinois passed a referendum to codify the right to collective bargaining in the state constitution. You know, the first state to ever do You know? Nice.
That's the opposite direction of right to work bullshit.
Exactly, yeah. And it looks like Gretchen Whitmer, who's kind of like, you know, she's the Democratic governor of Michigan, who's kind of like the person they're thinking of as maybe like the next presidential candidate, you know, for down the future.
Oh my God, Jesus. Okay.
She's looks like she's going to repeal the state's right to work laws.
Okay.
Yeah. Californians, though, overwhelmingly voted to against online sports betting. Did you see that?
Wait.
Remember those the two online sports betting things in California?
Sure. So people not going to be able to use FanDuel in California anymore?
Yeah, basically.
That's crazy.
I don't know FanDuel, but like online sports betting in general, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Wow. That's tough.
And they also voted to ban flavored e-cigarettes, like Juuls, like mango Juuls and shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's for the kids. I respect that. There's somebody who probably started smoking, unfortunately, in high school. I definitely favored the Newports, man, because they just tasted so minty.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. That's right. Newports. Newports.
Still love a menthol to this day, boy.
I'll fuck with menthol, you know?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's our election roundup, y'all. Make sure you become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings for a cup of Starbucks per month. We putting a lot of extra content on there, a lot of new OG shows. We ain't been doing that in like 3-4 years. So make sure you're checking that stuff out. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.